You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max. The podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Alan Hahn in for Max. Key, you smell that smoke? There's still smoke.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I smell it. It's getting closer and closer to Crypto Arena.
You guys are like that ex where I'm like, look, I broke up with you 5 times. It's not happening. It's over. Stop texting my phone.
You know, you say it's over. Yet, let me ask. I'll start it this
aggressive.
Way. I'll start it like this. Yeah, that was right. That's like a little experience going on there. Do we all accept the idea that Brian Windhorst is one of our best NBA insiders
yes,
that we have here?
Yes.
Okay. So when he speaks,
we listen.
You know, we listen. So on the Hoop Collective podcast, he was talking about. I don't know, Jay, like you were making fun of Key and I yesterday and our crazy scenarios and crazy ideas. Well, how about what Wendy had to say about something that the Nets and Lakers could work out?
Westbrook for Kyrie trade, the Lakers would save $11 million. That costs something. Thanks. Westbrook and 2 unprotected or 2 lightly protected first round picks for Kyrie. Okay. I know people are telling me you're crazy. Why are you talking about this? It would bail out the Lakers for this season and potentially next, and could potentially influence LeBron James' thinking when it comes to extending his contract in August.
And Key, we all know influencing LeBron's decision to make sure that he's happy in Lakerland is what Jeannie Buss said, top priority.
Yeah, it is. But, Jay.
Key.
Hey, when he said it right there. So what do you think, Jay?
Why would you do this to me the same way you did it to me in the pre-show meeting? I don't understand. What are you giving me in return? You're all this is about the Lakers, but if I am Brooklyn, what are you giving me in return?
Wendy just said we're gonna get you Westbrook and some first round picks.
But wait a minute.
Why would the Nets do that?
All right. Jay, what's in it for the Nets? I'm glad you asked, because remember, Wendy did also talk about that yesterday on NBA Today.
The message the Brooklyn Nets are sending is that they are willing to risk losing Kevin Durant if it means going through what they went through last year with Kyrie Irving. They just cannot have him back under the same terms that they had last year.
Okay. And?
I mean...
What?
Guys, come on, Jay! What were the terms last year? The terms last year that where he didn't want to get vaccinated, and that there were other players in the NBA who didn't want to get vaccinated.
Okay.
But the local mandate here in New York City required, but players could travel and come play in the arena who weren't vaccinated. So it is, I get it, the communication aspect. I'm not denying that or understating that at all. That is something that they need to work through. But like this whole narrative that floats out there that Kyrie doesn't like to work, or that Kyrie doesn't like to show up. Like, let's not act like the last 2.5-3 years weren't because of things that were happening during the Black Lives Matter movement, or things that weren't happening as relates to, you know, the pandemic. Like, I don't. So what, you're going to – he signs in now, but that's still not good enough, even though he opts in because he doesn't want to sign a long-term deal. Well, he didn't get the years he wanted. I don't understand. Why does this have to be – pushed into another narrative.
But look, Jay,
can you explain what happens when a player is told, go ahead and seek another offer. We'll sign and trade if you can find one. Go ahead and look for that. What happens?
I hear what you're saying, Jay. I'm with you 100% on the narrative side of things when it comes to Kyrie and people putting it out there that making it sound as though the reason that he missed last season or a big portion of last season was not because of the pandemic and the vaccination. They're making it seem like it's something totally different. I get that part of it. But when when a team comes to a player and they come to a mutual agreement to seek trade compensation and permission and things of that nature, that's because they want you to find something. It's not that they're hoping you don't find anything, because once they open up that box, the feelings start to flow out and they tell you truly, really how they feel about you. Maybe not as a player, so to speak, but just as an individual. And look, did he cause some disruption to the team last year because of the non-vaccination? Yes. But that's his own prerogative on what he wants somebody to do with him from a medical standpoint. But it did cause disruption. Is he in? Is he out? Is he in? Is he out? Can he travel? Can he not travel? Can he practice? Can he not practice? So that did cause some disruption. So I wouldn't necessarily say Wendy is completely wrong in this one.
I just, you know.
All right.
Yeah, I hear you, Keith. But yesterday when I came on the show, that's the first thing I said. I said that Kyrie Irving had no leverage. And that's what the Nets did. They called this bluff. Okay. You think there are teams that will give this to you? I know what I would need in return. And what I would say to you, Alan, is the Westbrook and the conversation, that doesn't get me closer to my goal of winning a championship. There's nothing that the Lakers could give me that will help me get to where my goal is with Kevin Durant, or help me reboot for where I wanted to be if I did want to go through the process of rebuilding. But why the hell would I want to go through a rebuild when I'm right there at the upper echelon of the Eastern Conference to win a world championship?
I can answer that because
of your major pieces, Jay, is Kyrie Irving, and you winning that championship. And if Kyrie Irving is going to leave, is God going to keep Kevin Durant happy? I'm assuming Kevin Durant is going to want to leave then. So now you got nothing that you had before, so you now have to rebuild.
And Key, once again, as I mentioned earlier, and Jay, you got to see it the way, I guess, from me, aerial view, I see a player who might not be, like, he's here, but he's not really here. Because we all said his best option is to take the option, right? His best option was take the option.
He's here, but he's not really here.
Well, you know what, though?
What does that
mean? It explains what it was last year, which is you're not really here.
Focus on this year.
And now this coming year, it's the same thing. You're here, but you're not really here mentally.
Alan?
It is absolutely the same thing. Because that was your best option.
Because he thought about going somewhere else.
So what? And I got you for 1 year. I don't even know if you're all in or not.
Kawhi left to go to a different team after he won a championship. He thought about going somewhere else.
And he won
a championship.
It's not the same thing.
It's never the same thing. It's apples and oranges. But I'm saying, they win a championship this year, even if he does decide to go somewhere else, it doesn't work out.
You're telling me that he's happy with only getting a one-year commitment, which is not even a commitment because it's just picking up his option. So he's thrilled with where he is right now. He's all in. Did he ever mention the Nets in any of his statements? Did he ever mention Kevin Durant in any of his statements?
Go ahead, Keith.
You guys, you're cutting me off.
It's 6:08. I'm about to get in
radio, guys. Look, Jay, one quick one for you. Do you believe that Kyrie is going to be a Net this season and play this season as a New Jersey, Brooklyn Net from the beginning to the end?
Yes. That's why I said I thought there was zero chance that Kyrie Irving leave the Brooklyn Nets this season.
I'm not sure about
what happens after this season, frankly.
So what Wendy is saying,
case closed,
about the window being open, you don't think it's still a possibility that the window could be open?
No, I don't see Kyrie Irving going to a different team today. I don't.
Today?
I don't see him going to the Lakers. No, I don't. I see him playing this season mm-hmm. with the Brooklyn Nets. And to go back to your point, Alan, a lot of people aren't thrilled about what they make. This dude is making $36 million. Would he like to make more for a longer period with the Nets? I'm sure he would have liked that. But that doesn't mean that he can't win a championship this year because he's disappointed he didn't get a four-year deal. It doesn't mean that he's going to be checked out and that he's not going to give it his all for his brother and Kevin Durant to try to win a chip because he didn't get a four-year deal.
Love it. Let's see where it goes from here. Jay had the last word. It's Keyshawn, J. Will, Max. Alan Hunt, Infomax, presented by Progressive Insurance. All right, well, if you think Kyrie Irving is a little detached from reality, We have another pro athlete that is right in line with him when it comes to reality of his situation. We'll discuss that and more next. KJM, ESPN Radio, and ESPN 2.
Really get me going this morning.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Max, Allen Hunt, in for Max. All right, so as we're talking about free agency in the NBA and contracts and everything else, did you see what Shaq had to say when it comes to it was an honesty I think a lot of us, yes, a lot of us kind of respect, and I wonder how you guys as pros feel about this. Shaq said, you think I'm happy Rudy Gobert is making $250 million? He said, goddamn right we're mad. We get petty. I think it's a little bit of truth in our criticism.
I mean, is he Shaq's right? A billionaire. This dude's a billionaire.
He's still petty, though.
He's a billionaire. I mean, this is what we talk about all the time on our show, Key. And we make mention of the fact that as the market dictates what guys get paid. So don't hate the player. Hate the game then. Like, that's where the game is going.
The fact that you were born too early?
Yeah, that's where the game is going.
Yeah, I really, you know what, man? To be honest with you, people always say that to me. Like, oh, man, these receivers is getting this. I'm like, man, I played 20 years ago. What you want me to do? I can't do nothing. I was the highest paid when I was playing. So what do you want me to do now? Nothing I can do.
It's a dramatic difference. Like, Terry McLaurin just got $28 million guaranteed, 71, and his extension with Washington and Key. Do you look at Terry McLaurin and think, I'm better than him? Mm-hmm. Shaq looks at everybody saying, I'm better than him.
As far as that goes, of course I was better than him. It's not even a question. I don't worry about that part of it. I know I was better than him. It's just that if I was in today's market, they'd be giving me some of the team. You know, that's the type of market I was in, be offering up the team.
Go ahead and pound your chest, baby.
Okay.
Oh, of course. I mean, I'm going to be real with
go
you.
Go ahead and flex on
I very rarely talk about stuff like that. You know that, Jay.
No, I feel you. It's just, it's funny, like, when you see what Draymond Green gets paid, and then you see certain stat lines, and you're like, yo. Like, I think that's sometimes where media or people like Shaq, I think that's what he's talking about. You see the productivity, but yet you see where that equates to on the pay scale, and that's what rubs people the wrong way. But that's more the system to me than the player himself.
Yeah, I don't have anything to do with – look, man, it's a dude's – when I got paid, I was the highest paid receiver in the game. It lasted about a year and a half. Then Randy Moss got paid. That lasted about a year and a half. Then somebody – so it's going to happen. People are going to leapfrog you. But if we look at today's era – and where these receivers are in today's era, they make it 30. I know what I would have been getting. If they got 30, I know damn well I would have been getting 40.
But you can also say that you guys, again, your generations laid the foundation for players making the money that they make today. So, you know, but I just love it's the honesty that Shaq kind of gives you is there a part of me that's petty? Of course it is. Is it a reason for the criticism? Probably shouldn't be.
Baker Mayfield played through injury last year, did not play well. The Browns did not meet expectations. If you look at Baker's first 4 years, how many of them are undoubted successes?
Everything I've been told is that the relationship between the Browns and Baker Mayfield is shot and isn't repairable.
I think it's been pretty obvious the mutual decision on both sides is to move on. I'm thankful for my 4 years in Cleveland. There's a lot of ups and downs and a ton of learning experiences that forever keep with me.
It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Alan Hahn in for Max. We're brought to you by Straight Talk at the $45 Silver Unlimited Plan from Straight Talk Wireless. Do we want to hear from Baker Mayfield? We have no choice. We will. And if we haven't really heard from him lately, and the Browns situation, of course, at quarterback remains one that you don't know if they're going to have their QB1 because of the Deshaun Watson, that the hearing continuing now for another day today that he's going through with the NFL to see what kind of discipline he will be getting. And we had discussed earlier this week about, well, if they don't have Baker for a whole season, which Dan Graziano told us he has heard that could be a possibility or something the NFL is pushing, well, then what do they do? Jacoby Brissett? They have Baker on the roster, so why not just go with him while you have him? Baker talked about that. He was at his camp in Norman, Oklahoma, and he talked with some media about that and more. And here's what he said, which is very interesting, about his relationship right now with the Cleveland franchise.
I think it's been pretty obvious the mutual decision on both sides is to move on. You know, I'm thankful for my 4 years in Cleveland. There's a lot of ups and downs and a ton of learning experiences that, you know, I'll forever keep with me. You know, teammates and friends and relationships that I'll have for a lifetime, and the support staff in Cleveland, the people of Cleveland, it's a great sports town, so I'm thankful for it, and there's no resentment towards the city of Cleveland by any means.
But I think a lot of people think if they didn't have a quarterback for the next year, would there be any chance of reconciliation there?
No, I think for that to happen there would have to be some reaching out, but we're ready to move on, I think, on both sides.
Ready to move on, although he did leave the caveat of they'd have to reach out to me. How do we feel about this?
Oh, I'm just looking at these highlights.
Every time you do this, Key. Every time you do this, you start to cringe.
I need to know, though, what is going through your brain as you're watching these highlights.
Disgusting.
I just – it's one of them deals where you're asking me to take that as a quarterback. Now, I'm not – I don't want that. I'd rather just go with Jacoby Brissett. If you're showing me what I just seen on our television – oh, no, man. But look.
B-roll?
It's very bad B-roll.
Yeah, exactly.
Setting of the feet, the getting out of the pocket, it just didn't look cool. And we didn't do that as a setup or anything like that. It's just video that we rolled. Baker Mayfield, it's the best thing for him to do is just move on. You know, go find somewhere else that suits him and fits him perfectly, that he can learn from mistakes that he made in Cleveland, and just turn the page. There's no need of revisiting going back to the Cleveland Browns or anything like that. And he said that both sides have moved on. And to be a lot of reaching out, not only from a front office standpoint, but there are players in that locker room that completely have looked at Baker Mayfield as a ghost at this point in time.
Yeah, Key, I'm with you, man. And the more I thought about it over the evening, Andrew Berry, the GM, has always struck me as somebody who's been very practical and measured, right, in his approach. Even when you hear him articulate his thoughts on players, even his thoughts on Baker Mayfield throughout the course of last season, he always said the right thing. He felt like he was creating the right strategy for where he wanted this team to go. Now, with that being said, Baker Mayfield says something, you know, I don't hold any resentment towards the city of Cleveland, and gave you all these reasons about why he loved Cleveland, which led me to believe or make the assumption that there wasn't resentment towards the city and the fans, but there was a resentment towards the front office, mm-hmm, and the way they handled it.
Well,
so understanding Andrew Berry, I don't see Andrew Berry or the Browns coming back to Baker Mayfield with their tail between their legs saying, hey, we apologize for the way things went. Like, they are secure in their decision moving forward.
And he should be upset at the front office. Baker Mayfield should be upset at the front office, especially if they were not transparent with him throughout the entire process. Okay, when you're transparent with somebody in the National Football League, I can't tell you the way it works in the NBA, but I can only tell you the way it works in the National Football League. As soon as that season is over with, they know if there's a quarterback that's going to be available, that there's a chance and a possibility that they're going to be in a quarterback market. Mm. They know that. And transparency is, hey, man, sit down with me and tell me, hey, if something comes available that's better, we may take a look at this. Doesn't mean we don't want you. It just means that we may want to upgrade at this position. We still love you, and we still think that you're going to be amazing for us if we don't get that other guy. You have to have that big boy conversations in the National Football League with guys. And too many times, front offices and coaches, they don't do that. They pat you on the back and tell you, hey, man, see you in the offseason. Meanwhile, they working it at the draft. They working it at the combine. Mm-hmm. They trying to figure out how to untangle something. Just tell me what the deal is. And I have a whole lot more respect for you. In terms of Andrew Berry being calculated, hey, look, if he was a guy who was measured, he wouldn't put Baker Mayfield in this position, nor would he have gone out and done some of the other things that they've done in the offseason. That's just my opinion.
I can't remember who it was.
Hold on 1 second.
Go ahead, Jay. Yeah.
So, you know, Key, that's an interesting point. I just want to clarify with you. So, as your view of Andrew Berry, considering everything with Deshaun Watson and some other moves this offseason, has that become a little bit diminished? Because you didn't agree with my point that he's been.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say it's all on Andrew Berry, the general manager, because he has to get the sign off from the owner. And Jimmy Haslin, him and his wife have to sign off on exactly what those decisions are going to be for this football team and whoever they bring in, whoever they sign, whoever they let go. So it's not all on Andrew Berry, not all of it.
If I were owner, I wouldn't, frankly, as much as, you know, Deshaun Watson is talented, I wouldn't have made that move, but I understand how the NFL works and the fact that it's an arms race essentially to get that type of talent. But I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, and the thing, Alan and Jay, that I look, okay, is Deshaun Watson a better quarterback than Baker Mayfield? You damn right he is.
We all agree.
You damn skippy he is. But it's not like Baker Mayfield 2 seasons ago prior to this past season with a little bit of injuries that knocked him in and out of games wasn't a good quarterback that had them on the brink of beating Kansas City and going on to the AFC Championship game, you know? And so when I look at that, I say to myself, what would Baker Mayfield have been if he was from the start of the season to the end of the season healthy like he was the year before? Where would this team be at? That's how I look at it, and they clearly felt in that going in another direction was the best way for them.
But you can't argue with Deshaun. You just can't argue
with the talent.
I'm with you. The only thing I would say, Key, about the Baker point, and I was on the same page with you. I still kind of am. I'm just, you know, and you brought this point up multiple times. The fact that none of his former players have spoken up about we want him here, I think speaks volumes about how he was seen in the locker room. That's how I feel.
Well, because that goes all the way back to the OBJ situation, all the way back to then. And when you have somebody like OBJ who is beloved by his teammates. See, the media in New York had issues with OBJ because he had the hair and kicking of the net, and he wasn't conforming to the rules of the National Football League. Play football, get your check, be quiet. That wasn't his deal. He was living life and trying to perform at the same time. So he got a certain stigma with the players. We don't care about all that because we know who our guys are in the locker room. And then he goes to Cleveland, and it never worked out with Baker Mayfield. And a lot of players look at that as Baker Mayfield did not try to make that work. You know, he wanted it to be about Baker, and because he wanted it to be about Baker, and it was going to be about OBJ because OBJ is a bigger star than Baker Mayfield, and that wasn't the case. And so it became one of those tug-of-wars inside the locker room. And then once OBJ was gone, then Jarvis Landry had a problem with it as well.
Yeah, huh? You think those highlights of Baker Mayfield throwing it to random players makes Key cringe? Put highlights of Baker Mayfield trying to throw the ball to OBJ and then watch Key's face.
Yeah, we got to put a pin in this and bring it back because there's a couple of things that Key said there that definitely need to be addressed. And also one thing that we're missing about what Baker said. So we'll get back to this conversation, but we got to run here. But coming up, back to the NBA because Draymond Green might not be, as out there as some of the Baker and maybe even what Kyrie has been saying over the last year, but Draymond Green has definitely raised the bar somehow for a Warriors dynasty. Expectations already for the next couple of years. We'll discuss that.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
The Golden State Warriors back on top of the NBA once more.
You never take this for granted because you know, you never know when you'll be back here. And to get back here and get it done means the world.
So the dynasty was over. I went through some things, tore everything, and I'm still here.
Welcome back to the Warriors Invitational, baby. That's what we do.
Winning championships is what the Golden State Warriors do. It's Keyshawn, J. Will, Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Alan Hahn in for Max.
Key, this kind of music can be playing at the birthday party? Is that what we're doing for the birthday party this summer?
I'm sure that'll drop somewhere along the lines a couple times.
Okay.
Da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
Does that mean I'm going to be your DJ?
Oh, jeez.
James Steele on the ones and twos.
James will not be on the board at Keyshawn's birthday party this summer.
Put it this way, James.
No Metallica at the birthday party.
I'm probably going to have to meet you at the top of the driveway and walk you in because, you know, let's just put it that way.
What are you saying?
James knows what I'm saying.
I look a certain way.
Yeah, I'm probably going to have to walk you in and let everybody know he's with me. He's okay.
Why does this guy have security with him? What's going on? Who is he?
See, it works with everybody, right? Like we all have that one friend where we got to make sure everybody understands. Nah, he's cool, he's with us, but Steele definitely with us. Meanwhile, Draymond Green is with the idea that the Golden State Warriors aren't done. Remember when he said we heard it there in the rejoin? Welcome back to the Warriors Invitational, meaning like you're all playing to beat us to win a championship. Four championships now in 8 years. And in six appearances as well. Draymond Green, though, feels like, okay, so they have another championship. They are still very much the team. You remember what he said about, well, if Kyrie goes to the Lakers, they'll be really good. They'll be contenders, but they can't beat us. In fact, Draymond, who was with J.J. Redick and the Old Man and the Three podcast, actually was a combined podcast because Draymond had his own podcast going at the same time.
It's called New Media, Alan.
Yeah, I guess this is New Media, where it's just two podcasts going at once. Pick which one you want to listen to, and then we get the content and we play it here for you. But he made a bold prediction about this Warriors dynasty, saying it's not going anywhere.
In 2019 was when Steph really locked in on the weight room. And so that's where he kind of starts taking that bump and kind of bumping it up a little bit. And although it didn't show immediately because then 2020 we were terrible and he broke his hand. You started to see in 2021, we were still terrible, but Steph was carrying us, and he carried us to a play-in game, and we didn't get past it. It was probably great because we would have got swept, and that would have been the first series we ever got swept, so thank God we didn't make it. But I think you started to see it then, that growth, and like, oh, man, nobody can stop this dude now. And I think that really changed the complexity of our organization, and I'm pretty certain that's why we'll win three of the next four NBA championships.
You see, Hahn, I was with him all the way up to the end. I was with him, and it reminds me of something my mom used to say, Key, boy, don't write a check that your butt can't cash now. Like, that's what it's starting to set it up for. And I get how, you know, a year ago when they got bounced by the Memphis Grizzlies, Stephen Curry was on a different level. His body looked different, averaged 32 points per game. He can carry a franchise. He's always been able to carry a franchise. But I get what Draymond was saying. But when you tail the comment off at the end by saying, yeah, we're going to win the next 3 out of 4. You and I both know, Key, how hard it is to win championships. Now, I never won one on the NBA level, but I won one in college. And I saw how we were the most talented team, and it almost didn't pan out. Injuries factor into that. Luck factors into that. This team has a history of being hurt now. I mean, Steph Curry came off an injury this year where if he didn't come off at the right time, they may not have been in this situation. Klay has not played in 2 years. Dre had injuries this year. So I get that they are on cloud nine, and he feels like he can say anything right now. But when you start forecasting, yeah, we're going to win the next 3 out of 4, you're putting a really big target on your back, and you're setting yourself up for failure.
Well, I don't personally subscribe to believing that he believes they're going to win 3 out of the next 4. Do I believe Draymond think that he has a really good team that's going to compete every single year as long as him and Klay's there and Steph is there, that they're going to compete at the highest level? Yeah, I think he believes that. Does he believe they got another championship or two inside of that arena? I think he believes that, but look, man, you can't hold on to 3 titles, NBA titles, and think that he really seriously means that. And Draymond is Draymond. Like you said, he on cloud nine. He's having fun with it. He deserves it. He has the right to say what he wants to say right now. But you and I and him, we all know it's hard as hell to win championships. And they won a lot of them, but it is hard to do.
Does this put added pressure? I don't think so, because they already are what they are, right? We know what they are. My question, though, is this. I've always heard that phrase, it's hard to eat when you're full. Chris Canty uses that all the time. And I love that phrase because it is about, like, how it does make you marvel at what the Bulls did with Michael Jordan, right? It does make you marvel at how the Spurs did what they did and just constant winning year after year after year. Even the Patriots as well, and Tom Brady, and just how he just stayed hungry all the time to compete. Kobe. But this is something different because as I look at the Warriors, they're getting older. And they have a young core of players off their bench, young guys that they're developing that were contributing, but not certainly centerpieces other than Andrew Wiggins. If they're going to do what Draymond thinks they can do, it's not going to be, to me, because of anything Steph Curry continues to do. I think this was the Steph Curry year. If they're going to do this, I think one of those players they have on their roster, whether it's Wiggins or Kuminga or whoever, Wiseman, they have to become what Kawhi was for the Spurs that allowed them to get another chip and play at a high level, because Tim Duncan didn't have to be the guy every single night. Tony Parker didn't have to be that guy. Yeah, Manu Ginobili. Yeah. Like, it didn't have to be that because they had this kid who emerged and they let him grow. Do the Warriors have that player on their roster?
I think they do. I think when you look at it, let's just start with Andrew Wiggins to start with.
Yep.
Okay. Every championship team has a staple. And then eventually those guys get a little bit older, but then a guy or two, like you mentioned, Kawhi Leonard, all of a sudden gets inserted into a different role. And I think Andrew Wiggins is there. Yes, Andrew Wiggins was the number one pick of the Minnesota the Cleveland Cavs, moving to Minnesota, and everybody said that he was whatever, a bust or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
But then he goes to Golden State and he's an all-star for the first time. But look where he's at. What would have happened to him if he'd have started his career in Golden State instead of starting it in Minnesota? Would our conversations be different? Do we look at him different? I think he's here to stay. I don't think it's a one-time year for him. I think we're going to see him continue to just elevate his game every single year because he didn't slow down at all.
You see, Alan, I wanted to go back to your point about, you know, do you think this puts added on pressure? The Warriors have never been a team to me, especially with their leadership style from Stephen Curry, that I felt like he's had to glow. Now, I think you've seen him say this season, right? Like, okay, what they're going to say now? Because it motivated him. It drove him this season to shut everybody up about, you know, well, they would have won this, but, or if they didn't, you know, they won it here in these years, but they had something. Kevin Durant, or but right. They didn't have, you know, Kyrie or Kevin Love with the Cavs back then.
Right.
So I think for him it was motivating, but the one I think it does put a target on Draymond Green. See, we talk often, like you ask kids these days, are you a fan of this team? And they're like, well, no, I'm a fan of this player. So I think what happens is now more so than ever these days, players hear that. And what you're hearing from Draymond, I say it's going to be the summer of pettiness, is that Draymond's gone into a feud with, you know, Kendrick Perkins. Draymond's clapped back at a lot of different people. He's talking a lot. There will be targets out for Draymond Green next year, like more so than Steph or Clay or the Warriors for Draymond Green. And I think that's what we're going to see more of this season. I wonder how many of the spats Draymond will get into with players as he starts pontificating about all these things that he forecasts to happen. Because now he's talking in front of a microphone more at a volume than he's ever had before in his career.
And he got four championships. If you don't have four championships, you can't talk to him.
No, I'm saying he can talk whatever he wants. He can say whatever he wants to say. But you know how this works, man. You know the more people hear you say it, the more
Memphis, hey. You could tell Memphis wants
show,
this team.
Show me. Hey, shut me up. If you don't want me talking, shut me up. I hear you. That is what Draymond is saying.
All I'm saying, Okie, is before people heard you talk in spurts, it was different. Right? Yeah, I hear you, but now it's like, oh, now there's extra motivation to shut Draymond up, whereas before you didn't hear him at this rate.
It's interesting how can the Warriors being that glory team that we all just really appreciate and enjoy, especially Clay and you know his climb back and Steph just being that guy, a star in the league that you just really appreciate. And then, but Draymond talking might turn them into, you know, the evil empire somehow, some way. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. What do we think of what Draymond said? Are the Warriors about to set off for three more championships in the next 4 years? We go to Dave in College Park. Dave.
How you doing, fellas?
What's up, Dave?
Yeah, first of all, Draymond is a fool. Okay, first of all, listen, he's writing checks he can't cash. Listen, I know he's a champion. We all know that. But let's be honest and be real about what just happened last year. First of all, the Warriors had a very easy through the West. They didn't have to go through Phoenix. Denver had all those injuries. You look at the Celtics. They played a Celtics team that was new to the finals, inexperienced, had just been battle-tested through Miami, Milwaukee. Okay,
and so, Brooklyn. So, and Brooklyn, Dave.
And Brooklyn, right. So let's just be honest.
So Dave, hold on, man. So should they apologize, though?
No.
Should they apologize that that Denver and the Utah and the Phoenix just happened and Luka didn't have another guy with him and all of a sudden if Milwaukee had Middleton? I mean, like, stop.
Listen, I'm not saying they didn't earn their win. I didn't say they didn't earn their win. I'm just saying, when Draymond's making these stupid comments, like, that should be coming from Clay, Steph. He's the baggage handler. He's the third man guy. That's not the star making them statements. And so he's writing things and putting all this pressure. The Clippers are going to be loaded, Key. I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm going to call you back next year when they don't make the finals and they get knocked out.
Yeah, the Clippers are always loaded.
Because the Clippers – no. Paul PG's healthy. Kawhi's healthy. Robert Covington, you saw what the Clippers did last year without these guys injured. Reggie Jackson stepped up. And then I'm going to tell you something. Denver's loaded. Jamal Murray's coming back healthy. Michael Porter's coming back. I'm just saying the Warriors are nice, and they're going to be there, but they're not running it back a couple more times. And I just want to know what he's going to say next year when they get bounced in the second round.
You know what he's going to say? Dave, I'll tell you what he's going to say. He said three in the next 4 years, so this is the year we don't win it. Like, he was careful to make sure it wasn't like three straight.
It does. Look, man, he just won, and he can say what he wants to say. Yeah. It doesn't matter. He has four championships. I don't give a damn if he sat on the end of the bench. It never played.
You know what it is,
Han? It's four, man.
It's almost like Golden State. It's like Anakin Skywalker, right? It feels like it's like, oh, they are the chosen one, and they're so good. And all of a sudden, you see like the Draymond Green dark side kind of swoop it in. You're like, oh, are they turning into Darth Vader right now? Is that what Dre? Dre's doing to them?
That's what
right
I'm
now?
Saying. You're taking the glory team, and you're suddenly turning them into the evil empire by talking this way. We go back to the
calls. No,
they're
gonna be evil empire anyway, though, Alan. Once they keep winning, when you win championships, people. People don't like you. Think about it. When New England first won their first couple, it was like, okay, they just kept winning. People was like, wait a minute. How are they doing this? Then they started, we don't like Tom Brady. Bill Belichick doesn't talk to the media. Yep. And then when you go to other teams, the Celtics were winning with Bird in them. Everybody was like, Larry Bird, it's just that white guy. They find a reason every single time to cause a problem when teams win.
But I don't know, Keith. Steph is like
they do
the
it
most,
with everybody.
I hear you, but Steph is like the here's most likable dude in the league.
He is. Now, here's how we know. We asked this question. We played Draymond, right? We took one call. Now we've got a whole bank of calls. People want to sound off on this. Let's continue with them. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. It's Alan Hahn in for Max, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Myron is in Florida. He's next. Myron, is Draymond right?
Draymond is absolutely right, man. Morning, fellas. I love what he's doing simply because, you know, like you said, they've won four championships. So, I mean, he's probably using this as a motivational tool for his own team, you know what I mean, try to keep them hungry because this definitely puts the target on their back. So, I mean, like Jay just said, you know, Draymond is talking like every day he got new content talking about somebody or some team or whatever, who they could have been, you know, whatever. So, you know, they automatically put a target on their back, and I think Draymond is just using this as a tool to keep his team motivated.
Myron, I think you may be right, Myron. All I want to say, though, is from somebody who talks for 4 hours a day on TV like all three of us do, what happens is when you start talking at volume, you start looking for content opportunities, right? So I hear what Draymond Green says about new media, but the more Allen and Key, he starts talking about things, is the more people will start to utilize that as motivation for him, for them to go against his squad. So I get it. He has the right to do it all, and I love it. Trust me, we're going to talk about it. I'm just saying, we're going to be talking more about Draymond Green and the Warriors more so than we have in all the championships they won this offseason.
Yeah, and you know, it takes me back to what Myron was saying. It takes me back to Pat Riley in 1987, Key, when he talked about how next year we're going to come back and do it again. And all his players looked at him like, wait, what? Like, yep, set that bar. That's what we're doing. So don't,
Allen,
not settle in.
Not one, not two,
well, there's
not
two.
Three, not four, not five. I'm just saying that stuff comes back to haunt you every once in a while.
Yeah, but that ain't hunting nobody, man. Come on, Jay. That ain't
Key.
That's clapback stuff. I feel you,
but I have heard people utilizing their argument to diminish LeBron James' greatness, how they underachieved in Miami.
That's they gotta be some
story.
Damn fools, Jay, to think that a dude takes a team in Miami, the three championship appear four. They actually went to four and won two and lost two, and that's a problem.
Max Kellerman,
oh, God,
but man, who's we to hear say, it every day in the studio. Kill
but who's to say? Well, wait
a
minute.
Though. I don't hear.
I'll argue this.
One ear and out the other. Never
I'll
sticks.
Argue this about Miami and LeBron and that group. They could have won four or more if they stayed together. LeBron chose to leave. That's what happened there. That four, five, or six thing could have happened if he stayed there. It burnt out quick. That's the difference. We continue with the calls. We go to Kevin in New York City. Draymond Wright?
Hello?
What up, Kev?
Kevin, we got you.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I like to state one thing. I believe truly in what Key is saying, and Jay knows it also. The Golden State Warriors, they won it. They got it in their hand. Plus, they got qualified backups waiting to come in for the original, how you say, five. They got absolute players back there. With that being said, I agree totally what Keyshawn is saying. The NBA, they're going to have to watch out for the Golden State Warriors. Now, as far as the West, whatever they got to have, they know what they got to bring against the Golden State Warriors. But I'm with Key on this 100%, and I truly believe Jay know what he's saying. I know Jay got to say what he got to say, but Jay know what he's saying. Key definitely know what he's saying. So I'm in agreement with Keyshawn.
Thank you, Kevin. How about
yeah,
Alan?
Kev.
Does Alan know what he's saying?
No, you don't know what you're
clearly
saying.
Clearly don't.
Yeah, Jay, I think you know what you're saying, though. You just don't want to say it on TV, but you really know.
What does that mean, Key?
I don't know.
Let's just translate move on. The Kyrie Irving language to me. I am not sure.
Early in New York City. That's what he's saying. It's really early in New York City.
What it means is Jay is just, you know, holding his cards close to his chest because he doesn't want to unveil what he really thinks to the public because he doesn't want the backlash, you know. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, because Jay's never said anything that has gotten backlash before. That's never happened. Let's continue. Do we have time for one more? Yeah, we can take one more. Yeah. Lorenzo in Charlotte. Lorenzo.
Hey, I just want to comment. I think Draymond got a point. I mean, got people forgetting that Wiseman didn't play. Poole emerged in the playoffs. And they got Peyton as a defensive – they could be a defensive anchor on the second team when he coming off the bench. So I think Draymond actually has a good point that they could win. I would say at least two. I would say three out of the last four, but at least two more championships.
Two more. Yeah, no, they got, no, that,
yeah, they got a legit shot. Yeah. No, they got a legit right. shot.
If they win two more, Steph Curry would have
six
championships.
Same as Mike. Same as Mike.
You, that's you realize, wild. Like, yeah, like, what are we talking about then?
I mean, it does feel like.
Gee, that's the last thing LeBron wants.
I know people like the forecast, Allen, and people want to go like, oh, let's go two or three more. Like, if you're the Golden State Warriors, you obviously focus on this next one more importantly than the other two or three. But the age thing and the history of injury is a major factor for this team at this
yeah,
stage.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
like, I know it's for every team, but especially for this team, considering injuries they have had.
Absolutely, yeah. Which makes those young guys that they have on the bench that right. didn't really play a ton in the playoffs but played some, the development of them into, like, their next wave that can carry them to yeah. maybe another title, if not two, is so critical. And now we'll see what that becomes. Because if they don't turn into that, then no, they're not going to win another championship. But maybe Draymond sees something and the potential in them that makes him believe they can, which is why he's speaking so boldly. Either that or whatever they were serving at this restaurant in New York City, we all should
one
probably have some of that.
Tequila. Who wouldn't?
Tequila at 6:30.
No doubt about that. Well, how do the Lakers and LeBron feel about this? What can they do? We'll discuss next.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.